I'm Christine Dean. This is Live from Studio A. And we have a duo joining us today, Kip Jones and Carl Doty. Yes. And both of you, Duluth natives, and both of you have parents who were well-known in the music community, are still well-known in the music community in Duluth, even though I think they're not active anymore in the... What am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say.
Carl's mom just retired.
Oh, just retired. Right. Okay. Carl's mom, Jean or Jeannie?
Jeannie Doty, yeah. Mm-hmm. She taught here at UMD for between 10 and 15 years and just retired a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, just a couple. Okay. And then your dad was at East High School, mm-hmm. right,
Jerry Jones, and he moved to Stillwater. He and my mother moved to Stillwater 7 years ago now. But they'll be back for the concert tonight.
So you both come by your musical talent naturally. You know, you had parents that encouraged yes. it, obviously. And you also both studied out east for a while. And now you're playing together. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how you guys know each other and how you got started playing together and all of that. But first, why don't you play something for us? What do you want to start with?
We're going to start with a tune called Don't Go Away that was written in Carl's family cabin in Moose Lake last summer. And it was written as a joke. And the more we play it, the more fun it gets to play. And the joke gets better, but the song gets more heartfelt as well. So without further ado, 1, 2, 3. Well, the river rose, overflowed the banks, and everything's a flood. The building that I'm working on is sinking in the mud. And now you say you're leaving me for brighter, better days. What good is the house? What good am I if I don't got your love?
Don't go away.
Can't you find a way to stay? Don't go away. Please don't go away. We know they all like you best. Can we follow you out the door? A little Lulu Rex and Fifi won't come around anymore. And the friends we have, they all sympathize with your side every time. Without your love, without the dogs, just count myself so damn poor. Don't go away. Find a way to make you pay. Don't go away.
Kip Jones on fiddle and Carl Doty on double bass. And you got to tell me what the joke is on that, because it just sounds like a great song to me. How did that start as a joke?
Well, I guess the joke started a bit of a long story. Anyway, at the time, I was having trouble composing, and Kip was helping me along. And at one point, I just got so frustrated that I started writing down random lyrics. Among them, swine tumbling, mumbling, grumbling, which turned into a song in its own right, which was kind of the original joke song. And these songs always have a tinge of reality in them as well. But anyways, this...
It really tumbles swine, is what he's trying to say.
That's right. Only on the weekends.
It's like cow tipping, but it's more violent.
But this song that we just played was Kip's reaction to that other song.
Well, and it really kind of shows the versatility that you guys have, because you have, you know, you've studied classical, jazz, and, you know, that is in the folk tradition, and it just... It's just wonderful how you have the ability to do so many different things. Now, did you guys start playing? Did you go to school together? Is that how you know each other? Or
we overlap each other by 5 years. I'm 5 years older than Carl, and so I was out of high school by the time he was in high school. In fact, I was out of college by the time he was in college. So we've always been, as far as school is concerned, we've always been kind of in a different place in life. But we met when Carl was in high school and I was in college, and we began playing together. I don't know, how many years ago? Maybe 8, 9 years ago?
I think it was about, the first time would have been in 2002. I used to have a weekly gig down at Sir Ben's, and we were playing outside because it was a beautiful summer day, and Kip showed up with his fiddle on his motorcycle and ended up playing for a couple hours. That was before my senior year of high school. Played with Kip a couple more times. Kip ended up writing a piece that we played on a recital of mine the next year, and that's kind of where we really started playing together.
Yeah, and then while Carl was in college, we made one record a summer for 3 years running. Mm-hmm. And those records are all on morningzephyr.com for downloading and so on. But yeah, I'm really excited about what we're doing at the moment. I think we've kind of hashed out a lot of... hashed out a lot of different musical worldviews over the last decade, and I think we're discovering something that we both feel really good about.
And what do you each bring to the table? Now, Kip, you went to the New England Conservatory, is that right?
I study. Yeah, Carl.
Carl.
Oh no, that's
Carl. I'm
no.
looking at you and calling you the wrong name. It's that K thing. You both have the K
names.
K too.
Mm-hmm. That's the
which
deal.
is what you call yourselves on your album.
I did go to New England Conservatory.
Yes.
I went there for my undergrad degree as well as my master's. I've since been out of school a couple of years and still live in Boston. But going out to school was the first time that I had been out east, and it's a bit ironic because I ended up going to school in a place just about 2 blocks away where Kip had gone to school.
Berkeley? You went to Berkeley?
Yeah.
Which has a totally different musical ethos.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley's a lot less stringent, and I think has maybe even lower standards in some ways for the standard of instrumental performance. At the same time, if someone has an individual goal that they're searching for, I can't imagine a better place to have all the resources of every style of music at your disposal. I mean, there are professors who are quite accomplished in classical music and play in the BSO. My violin teacher, Matt Glaser, had played with Stefan Grappelli as well as, I don't know, he's mastered a number of different fiddle styles as well. So it's nice to have a lot of different types of inspiration. But yeah, it was, 2-3 blocks away, something like that. Same neighborhood, different.
but was at different times?
Mm-hmm. It was
so,
at different times, yeah.
Okay.
The only times that we've spent together in Boston is when Kip has since come to visit me and we've played music, and he's been sleeping on the floor in my apartment.
And Kip, you live in Minneapolis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are very few times that you guys actually have been in the same place at the same time, but you must enjoy what you do enough that you make a point to continue to work together.
Well, this time it's thanks to the Lake Superior Chamber Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Friesen approached me last September about the idea of writing a piece for them, and my first thought was that it'd be great to do it as a double concerto for violin and bass. So it's really thanks to the LSCO that we're together this summer. Because as you can imagine, I mean, logistically it's difficult to get this giant instrument across the country, as well as this giant guy.
we're
pretty excited about the concert tonight, as well as to play this kind of crazy, slightly more humorous music.
this weekend.
Yeah, so you're gonna be doing a couple of different things, you know, more on the classical side, I assume, tonight, mm-hmm. and then this weekend a little bit more like what we just heard. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And you wrote a concerto for tonight, and tell me how you approach something like that.
Gosh, let's see. That particular piece, man, that's a good question. How do you approach it? I'm of the rather traditional school that a melody or a theme winds up becoming a good axis for a piece of music. The same in a short song for a small ensemble as for a longer piece of music for a large ensemble. So the first thing that I did is like I began searching for appropriate themes for each of the movements and then began dealing with them in different ways for different sections. I don't know, you'll have to come tonight and experience the orchestra playing this piece of music. I mean, the fun thing about a concerto as opposed to other classical music forms is that the soloists are interacting, especially a double concerto, the soloists are interacting with one another as well as interacting with the orchestra. And it's interesting to see how one voice will step forward in relation to another voice and how those two voices will embody the same musical statements being made by the ensemble. That interrelationship is, kind of like a novel. You've got main characters and you have a background. You have a world in which the characters, you know, live and work and function and so on.
That's a great way to look at it. Let's hear another song. What do you guys want to do next?
Next, we're going to play another of Kip's songs that he wrote last year for, and it's called For the Ohio Kleins. And it's dedicated to a couple of Kip's friends who live in Ohio. And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh,
Kip Jones and Carl Doty, live from Studio A. And Kip, you were here about a year ago, a little over a year ago for the Holmgren Music Festival, and you were talking about you had just come back from Korea not too long before, and you like, was that one of the tunes that you kind of used Korean as the language? So you were talking about how you do that so that the lyrics don't take away from the music, kind of.
Exactly. And indeed, that song does have Korean lyrics. They're from the Psalms. I can't remember what they are. Something like flute and harp, I will awake the dawn. It doesn't really express how I feel about the song. I'm not sure that there are words that I could put to that song that would express how I feel about the song. But in a pinch, a set of syllables will do the job. And at least I have the knowledge that I'm not, you know, shooby-doo-wah-ba-za-ba-za-ba.
But to English speakers like me, it just kind of adds a different texture to the song. You know, it doesn't have meaning, mm-hmm. you know, in a literal sense, but it adds another texture to the song, so it's kind of cool. So Kip was here about a year ago. Carl, I haven't chatted with you before, so we're gonna talk to you a little bit more.
All right.
Now, double bass. Difference between a regular bass and double bass, is it just the size? Is there more to that?
There's actually no difference. There's simply that this instrument has many different names. You could call it string bass, double bass, contrabass, bass.
Stand-up
bass.
Doghouse.
So doghouse bass. We're getting all sorts of ideas here. That's right. And basically the history of the instrument is that for the longest time it wasn't standardized. They used to be three-stringed instruments. They actually used to be fretted instruments, part of the viol family, and then they became three-string. Mine has four strings, which is standard these days. There are five-string instruments, which most people play in orchestras of Europe. But I guess the lack of standardization has brought up different names from different traditions.
Okay. And is this? Have you always played bass? Did you start with other instruments when you were a kid? Or
I started on piano. I must have been only about four or something. Music, like you said, was always in my house. And I started piano lessons probably around four. Along the way, I also sang in some choruses. And then in middle school, became more interested in rock music, played in a few bands, starting on keyboard and then quickly switching to bass guitar, which was my first bass instrument. And then got into the double bass from there, got very excited about the instrument in high school, and decided to pursue it, and now it's a large part of what I do.
Mm-hmm. A large.
It is, yes. Yeah, it is quite large. And you've had the chance to work with some really amazing people. Well, you've worked with Joe Walsh, who was in the band Joy Kills Sorrow, right? From
right.
Boston.
I was actually a member of that band.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but because I know he's been here in the studio before with Joy Kills Sorrow when he was still with that band. I know he's not with them anymore either, but you've done stuff with him. Heather Massey, she was also in that band, is that right?
That's right. She's another founding member. And you're right, I play with both of those people. In fact, I played on Joe Walsh's, both of his solo discs, and in fact just played a CD release show for him up in Portland, Maine. I've gone on tour a few times with Heather Massey, also recorded her disc, and there's a new disc on the horizon for her as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we have a previous one here. And you studied with Edgar Meyer, which is pretty darn cool. You want to tell people about?
Sure. I had a few different experiences with Edgar or Mr. Meyer. The first being up in Canada at this place called the Banff Center for the Arts, which is a beautiful center for the arts in Banff National Park in the Rocky Mountains. And they have several programs. The program that I was doing was a two-week masterclass session, which ended up being four students with Edgar Meyer. So it was lots of hands-on. That was the place where I started to compose a little bit more. I had written a few songs, but he encouraged me to write a piece for for all the players. So we ended up doing a bass quintet up there. So that was my first interaction with him. I also attended about a week and a half workshop that Carnegie Hall puts on. And that was about 4 years ago. Edgar Meyer and Mike Marshall put that on. And then from there, I've run into him and had contact with him in less formal settings.
Okay. And that must be really a lot of fun for you. I mean, he's a fairly well-known and accomplished musician. So.
Absolutely. He's been a big inspiration for me, both, you know, listening to his music, recordings, going to concerts, and then also interacting with him on a personal level. It's all been very inspiring.
Well, that's great. That's great. Now, you guys did an album together, an EP, I guess. And you actually recorded it last year, is that right?
We recorded it last summer after a couple of weeks of writing and fleshing out, workshopping the tunes in the woods, which is a great place to write and flesh out music. And we went down to my brother-in-law's studio in North Minneapolis and recorded it.
Okay. And it didn't come out till now.
It's tough to get somebody from the other side of the country, yes, it's coming out now. We're releasing it at Amazing Grace this weekend, mm-hmm. and we're going to do a release show down in Minneapolis at the Bryant Lake Bowl on the 30th.
But one good thing about you two not being in the same place is that kind of keeps it fresh. Even though you did it a while ago, you don't get to perform the music that much. So,
I would say that both the pro and the con is that we wind up with a whole bunch of great material that we feel great about and simply not enough time to dive into it as far as we'd like. And even this year, we've had more time than we've ever had. We also have more material than we've ever had. The concerto is 20 minutes long. We spent a week working that out, finding different images for different lines. You know, this is wind. This one is a wind underneath another wind. I don't know. A lot of natural images. I guess there are some mountains and some water. And I think there's a gunfight in there. Yeah, there's a gunfight in the end of the first movement.
But it's not the gunfight, but it's the suspense. the image that I was actually thinking of.
The gunfighter's eyes. Sorry, you can.
This is great. For people who are going to be there this evening, they can follow along. Okay, this must be the wind part.
I've become a big fan of Sergio Leone's Western trilogy starring Clint Eastwood. And this there's a particular scene at the end of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is about a minute and a half long. And it's simply the suspense before a gunfight involving three people, and you have no idea what's going to happen. And he's a master of close-up shots of the eyes to extremely far-away shots of the whole scene where you can't see the people at all. And it's that suspense. The music grows. Oh, it's a great, great
movie.
If
you happen to make it to Sacred Heart tonight, that moment is at the end of the first movement, and we're playing. Mm-bo, dun-go, gung-gung, gung-gung,
gung-gung, gung-gung, gung-gung, gung-gung. So be.
And then the suspense builds and builds.
Be listening for that this evening. Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to finish with here?
All right. I'm going to make an executive decision here and say that we are going to play the opening of the third movement of this concerto to give people an idea of what they're in store for. So this opening of the concerto, this is the third and final movement, and has us both playing pizzicato, meaning without our bows. And it's mostly solo. There's an orchestral melody which comes in towards the end, but this is mostly how you will hear it tonight. Thank you.
Kip Jones and Carl Doty live from Studio A. And Kip, I forgot to mention, you also have a solo album out right now, don't you?
I do. I just released that 2 months ago. And that is a... Some of those songs are going to be heard at Amazing Grace. Some of those songs have made it into the K2 repertoire, and I think on a long enough timeline, they'll all get fleshed out as duo compositions. But yes, I just released my solo CD, Halazgo, which is 11 songs composed specifically for violin and voice unaccompanied. I wrote them during a year-long trip I took in South America with my wife.
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. Really a pleasure to have you back in Duluth and here on live from Studio A.
Thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely.
Today's program was produced by me, Christine Dean, Chris Harwood, Shauna Soma, and Sarah Koshin, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.